The motto of Floyd County is, and if you see it on any of our emblems or any of our, it's on the sheriff's office patch, and the motto of Floyd County is to grow is to prosper. That's our county motto. To grow is to prosper. And if I had a title to my message tonight, it would be this: to grow is to prosper. And in saying all that, that there's so many different things in churches, and I've been in church all my life. I've said this before. It's nothing new. I've been in church all my life. I've probably seen everything or under the sun, it seems like, to grow a church and to get people to come. And people think, well, we got to have this to get people to come. People think, well, if we had a different preacher, that would make the church grow. If we had a better youth pastor, that would make the church grow. If we had this or if we had that, if we had a better music leader, somebody say amen, that would make the church grow. But in fact, that is not the case. I have seen churches grow with hardly, matter of fact, I have been to churches that did not even have a pastor, and Brother Davey can attest to this, that did not even have a pastor, and they were blowing out the seams. And I've been to churches that did not have a music leader or a youth pastor, but in those departments, still, even though that there wasn't anybody there leading in that aspect, the church was still growing. And the common denominator in all of those different things is they had an outpouring of the Spirit of God moving and a church body that was willing to allow the move of God to happen. Somebody say amen. And in that environment, the church began to grow. And if I had a title to my message tonight, it would be "To Grow is to Prosper." And I want to go over just a little bit of church history real quick. And before I get to where I'm going to preach tonight and to bring you up to date from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And I was pondering on this today and I thought, well, I'm going to bring this out in my message tonight. And I want everybody to understand where we were at in the old Bible times compared to where we're at now and how that we can relate that to be soul winners. Amen. And I heard a preacher that preached this message one time is Reverend Pat Hayes, and he can preach it probably better than I'd ever think about preaching it. But he taught on this, and I want to bring this out for you guys so that you can enjoy it as well. Back in the Old Testament, before that, how you got to God or how you got forgiven of your sins is there had to be sacrifices made. How many knows in the Bible that we read that there have to be sacrifices made? Abraham was getting ready to sacrifice his only son. But that's how we got close to God. That's how we got set free from our sins. That's how we got to God. There had to be some sacrifices made. And the only person, listen to me, church, the only person that could get into the presence of God was the priest. And the priest would go behind the veil. Y'all have heard in the Bible in the Old Testament about the veil. And they would have to go in behind the veil. And the preacher or the priest was the representation of the people. All right? So there had to be sacrifices made for our sins. And how many knows that probably me, myself, I'd have to have a whole cattle farm to take care of my sins. How many in here can attest to that you'd have to have more than just one chicken or one goat to sacrifice for your sins? Probably a goat wouldn't get me through lunch. Because if you had my job, you'd understand why. But that's what happened back in Bible times, that we had to make sacrifices for our sins, and the priest would go and he would be interceding for the people, and then he's the one that talked to God. He's the one that heard from God. And if the preacher wasn't right, he would go back there to where the ark was. And if the priest wasn't right, we all know in the Bible that he would drop dead. And he had little bells around his robe, and those bells would dingle. And that would let everybody outside the veil know that the preacher was living right. Because if they heard a flump and no more bells ringing that the preacher had not been living right. And they had a rope tied around his leg and they would drag him out. How many of us in here could go behind the veil tonight and make it? We'd have to ask God for a lot of forgiveness. Thank God for His grace. Amen. Thank God for His grace. So that's what happened back in the Old Testament, in the Bible times. And it's things just wasn't working out back then. We look at so many leaders. There was prophecies being foretold that there was one man coming. Oh, that could be the King of Kings, of any king. And there was also a prophecy given that he would not only be king, but this man would be priest as well. And y'all probably heard me talk about this in the past, but I want to get you somewhere where we can really get down and really grow ourselves in the Lord. Now listen, there was prophecies given that there would be a man come that would be king and priest. And there was so many kings in the Bible, and people would worship people. They would think the world of this king, and they think, oh, this one is it, this one is it. But it never did come to pass. None of them would operate in that office as king and priest. See, back in the Old Testament, you had a king that governed the people, and then you had a priest that interceded to the people. They both didn't operate the same job. They operated two different jobs, and that's just how it was. And when you got in trouble is when you tried to intertwine the two, try to be the king and the preacher. It didn't work that way. And in the Old Testament, if you follow along, even it just got worse and worse and worse. And the Old Testament, you can read it, ends with a curse. It ends with a curse. It just got doom and gloom. You see all kinds of fighting. You see all kinds of destruction in the Old Testament. We see people trying to step up and do the work of God, but yet they just quite didn't get it taken care of. And we get to the very end of the Old Testament, and it's hopeless and doom and gloom, and it ends with a curse. And I feel that a lot of church people feel that way now. I feel that a lot of church people and a lot of youth groups, a lot of pastors, a lot of evangelists, a lot of teachers and singers feel that we just living in a cursed time, and that we just not going anywhere. It just seems like that what we do fails. That when we try to do something for God, we just stumble and we can't get anywhere with God. And I believe that a lot of church people feel that we're in a doom and gloom and despair society, or an environment or an age where we feel that God's not moving anymore. But just hang on a minute. Now listen, we are not in a time where God's not moving anymore. We're not in a time that it's doom and gloom and despair, because we're living in a time where God is still on the throne and He's still real. If you're at the old end of the Old Testament and you get over to the very last part where it talks about a curse, and you can read it, it didn't look very good. It didn't look like anything was going to come out of this mess. It looks like it's all over, just like a lot of us look at our lives and our ministry, that it's all over. Our health says it's over. Our finances says it's over. Our family issue says it's over. But that's not the case. Because if you look at the end of the Old Testament, and then you flip over to the New Testament, and I like what Brother Hayes said, and you read down, I believe it's in the first chapter, and it says, and the birth of Jesus was on the wise. How many knows that Jesus is the answer to all our problems? Jesus is the answer to every situation that we go through. Any circumstance that we go through, Jesus is the answer. And we've got to realize that. And we all know, and I'm just fast-forwarding through all this, we all know that when Jesus was born, He proclaimed to be the Messiah. Do you remember what I was talking about? That there would be a man come that would operate as king, not only operate as king, but that he would operate as a priest also. Oh, Jesus was the one that would come on the scenes in the New Testament and operate as king and priest. Not only could he govern none like any other, but he could save a world that was lost. Oh, he could save a world that was lost. Why could he save a world that was lost? Because he lived 33 years on this earth. And at the age of 33, they led him up Golgotha's hill and they nailed him to a cross. He was the perfect sacrifice that could be made. And now, when he was sacrificed on that cross, the veil was torn from top to bottom. And now we can go freely to God. You've heard the story. You've heard me talk about it. We don't have to have a priest to intercede for us anymore. Brent doesn't have to go to Brother Lee and tell him all his sins so God can forgive him. Beth doesn't have to go to any preacher and tell the preacher all her sins so God can forgive her. She can just tell Jesus herself and say, Lord, I've been a mess and I need you to forgive me. God, look at where I'm at. I need your forgiveness. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he was the perfect sacrifice. He was the perfect sacrifice, and now that we can go freely to him, we can tell him all of our problems. We can tell him all of our troubles and our sickness, and we don't have to have a priest, and we don't have to sacrifice any animals to get to Jesus or to get to the Ark of the Covenant. All we now can just, wherever we're at in our car, we can talk to Jesus. Oh, we can call on him, and he's right there, just like that. Let me tell you something. This past week, God laid it on my heart for probably 2 months now to go pray for this young girl. She's 18 years old, and Brother Davey requested prayer for her the other night. She'd been having epileptic seizures, and she told me Monday night, she said, there's been days that I've had 44 seizures in one single day. She said, I've had 16 seizures in 1 hour. God had been dealing with me for 2 months to go pray for this girl. And I've been waiting on God, hadn't said anything, just been dealing, just waiting patiently on God. And Brother Davey ran across her father the other day at the restaurant. And he came and testified about it, and God hit me like a ton of bricks while I was standing up there. And God said, now is the time to go pray. Now is the time to go pray. I got on the phone with him Monday, and I said, what are you doing after work? And he said, nothing. I said, Brother Marvin, I need to come by and pray for your daughter if it's okay. He said, can you be here at 5 o'clock? I said, I'll be there at 5 o'clock. See, now listen. The veil was torn. We can go straightway to Jesus. And let me tell you something. 5 o'clock Monday afternoon, I went past the veil and I had to get a hold of God. I had to get a hold of God. I know in my heart that God wanted me to go over there and pray for that young girl. I drove over there. I walked in her house. We talked a little bit. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't want to talk too much because I was there on business for the king. I didn't have any interest to talk about what we were doing, what we were going to do, about anything else except the reason why I was there. And I said, let me tell you something. I'm here because I want to pray for her. And I said, do we have any anointing oil? We got the anointing oil out. And I painted the old rugged cross on her head. And I began to pray for that girl. And I begin to cast the devils and the spirits and the sickness off of that girl's life. Why? Because over 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross for Sarah, that I might go to her house and walk right past the veil and proclaim healing unto her. Because he is King of kings and Lord of lords. Not only is he the King of kings and Lord of lords, but he's the priest of all priests. Oh, and I can go to him for that little girl. And church, I want to tell you something. I begin to pray for that girl, and she began to cry. And they're brethren people. That means they're not Pentecostal people. They don't get wild like we do. And I begin to speak in tongues, and I begin to worship and praise God, and they begin to speak in tongues and worship and praise God, and we begin to cry, and we begin to have church right there up in that house, because I knew God had showed up, and I knew God had given me a word for that young girl. And I want to tell you something. I looked at her, and she'll tell you just as much as I'm telling you. I'm not telling no secrets. She'd probably come here and give a sermon about it. But I said, young lady, the Lord wants me to tell you that you've got to get rid of your past. You've got to let it go. You've got to let go of all the things that people's done to you and all the bad things people's done to you. I said, if you don't, it'll kill you, young lady. Let it go. Let Jesus be Lord of your life. She began to cry and weep. I didn't know this. She began to cry and weep and bawling right there in front of me. And she says, Brother Paul, the reason I started having all these problems is the doctors told me that they were being caused by stress from having a traumatic experience with my father who left me. And I said, sis, do you not realize that God's got a purpose for your life? Let me tell you something, church. There is a power that is involved with somebody that knows how to walk through the veil. And I don't know if you know how to walk through the veil tonight, but if you want to get somewhere with Jesus, you got to know how to walk through the veil. You got to know how to get somewhere with God. Oh, it's not in some program. It's not in some worship leader or some pastor. Oh, but it's somebody that knows how to touch Jesus. When you know how to touch Jesus, you can get somewhere with Him. Oh, I thank God for that. We walked right past the veil Monday night and proclaimed healing. And I believe 100% that God sent me to that young lady to give her a word. Oh, I'm telling you what, church, to grow is to prosper. How do we grow? Is we need to once again get the move of God in the house. Oh, listen to me. We need once again to get the move of God in the house. And I'm talking about the miracles moving in the house where people are getting set free from sickness. People are getting set free from cancer. People are getting set free from drug addiction. We have got to move past the veil. A lot of us, so many times we sit and we look at the veil and we think, oh, it's just too big. It's too much for me. God's calling somebody else to go through the veil. God's calling that person to go through the veil. No, honey, God's calling you. God's calling you. You say, I'm not a preacher. No, you're not a preacher, but God's calling you. You say, He's not calling me. I'm not a worship leader. No, God's calling you. I'm not a deacon. How can God use me? No, God's calling you. He's not calling. Matter of fact, there's some deacons that God needs to call. There's some worship leaders that God needs to call. Matter of fact, there's some pastors that God needs to call. We need a church once again. Again, that moves in the Holy Ghost. We need a church that gets a hold of God and says, Lord, I lay my life down in such that I might take your life up. God, I want to give up everything for you. Amen. Oh, my Lord. I feel like I'm going to explode again. I ain't even got to my verses yet. We need a church that once again moves in the miraculous power of God. Luke chapter 4. In verse 13, and when the devil had ended all temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Somebody say, in the power. Oh, yeah, we got two people. Somebody say, in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Now I'm going to stop right there. You want people to come to church? It's right there. In the power of the what? Spirit. We need the power and we need the Spirit. You get the Holy Ghost moving, you get people start getting set free from drugs and alcohol. You start people that they said would never get saved, and they come into an old Pentecostal service, and God starts setting them free, and they run to the altar. Oh, people start, I'm going to come to that service. They don't care about the comfort. They don't care about the music. They want something. Let me tell you something. If people want to be set free, They only coming to be set free because they got needs in their life, and they need to be set free from those needs and those problems. And there's only one person that can do it, and that's Jesus. In the power of the Spirit in the Galilee, and there went out a fame of him. Why? Because he was moving in the power and the Spirit throughout all the region round about. Verse 15, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and it was his custom. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. Verse 18. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Verse 19. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again unto the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Verse 21. And he began to say unto them, this is the day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Now I want to back up there, and I went through that real quick because I didn't want to spend all the time reading it because I want to preach it. Is that all right? If you want to read it, you can read it tonight. But now I want to go back to verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Church, let me remind you what I said before. We need a moving of the power of God in the church once again. That is the key to grow. Like I said, to grow is to prosper. To grow in God in your life, or to grow in any local church, we have got to have the moving of God. If we don't have the moving of God, if we don't have God in the middle of it, all we got is a concert or some eloquent speaker. Y'all with me tonight? But we've got to have a moving of God to where God is defying the powers of hell and just blowing people's minds. I've been watching videos here on YouTube of the old-time preachers like Catherine Kuhlman and A.A. Allen and how they moved in the Spirit. And I watched people by the thousands come to those churches. And it wasn't because of any performance that they was putting on, but it was because of the moving of God. I mean, people literally getting up out of wheelchairs and walking out of there. People really having blind eyes and leaving. Let me tell you something. This is real. How do you say, Brother Paul, it's real? Because I have been in India and watched God heal blinded eyes. I was in India this last time and watched God touch a man that had been down with heart disease and hadn't moved in weeks. And we went into his house and prayed for him. And he got up and walked into our crusade that night perfectly healed because of the power of God. And his whole family was amazed. They said witch doctors had come by and put curses on the house. Oh, and I thank God that he sent two white preachers up into India to walk past the veil right into the presence of God and break the curses off of that man's life. Amen. We need a miraculous moving of God in the house these days. Verse 18. Again, Jesus gets up and they handed him the book. Basically, it's the old Bible. They handed him the book and he began to read it. And this is what he's saying. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Let me tell you something. I wouldn't give 2 cents for any singer or any preacher that didn't have the Spirit of the Lord upon them. Because on past that, he says, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel. You have a preacher that's not anointed, I wouldn't have anything to do with them. You have somebody that's not been spending time with Jesus, somebody that don't have a relationship with God, all you've got is an eloquent speaker. But you get somebody that's walking with God, somebody that's praying with God, somebody that's seeking God, oh, you've got something. I like what Brother Clayton back there said one day about Brother Lee. He said, you can tell that man spends time with God by his messages and the time that he studies and how he brings the word out. There's no doubt that that man does not spend time with God, because he does. You can tell that in his messages. I wouldn't give, like I said, 2 cents for anybody that doesn't walk with the Lord. I was reading on an article today about a lady minister in Toronto, Canada, who the church is allowing her to continue as the pastoral role because she don't believe that there is a God, but she's going to still preach. Now, that makes about as much sense. Had to have a... It's like working for the school system. Sometimes we have meetings for meetings. They had to, listen, church, they had to have a meeting. Call everybody in. Take a vote. Take a vote. If we're going to allow this woman pastor to preach the gospel, and to not only preach the gospel, to preach it in the way she wants it to be seen, and she doesn't even believe that there's a God. She claims to be an atheist and is a pastor of a Christian church in Toronto. That's sad. The church decided, and I can't remember what the church is called, the church decided to allow this lady to continue holding her role as pastor because she got the lawyers after them. Continue to preach, and says it's okay because we like to reach out to people of all kind of different diversities. Honey, when we try to reach out to all kind of different diversities without Jesus, you're not reaching out with anything, so you might as well hang it up and go home. If you're going to reach out to the different diversities, and you should, and I'm going to bring that out to you in a minute, you better do it with Jesus. If you do not have the Spirit of God on you and you do not have the anointing to preach the gospel, then you're not ever going to grow. You're going to go into a stagnated place in your life, and that is as far as you're going to go. There's so many people that start out serving God and they get to a stagnated place in their life. And the reason they do that, and the reason they keep falling, and the reason they can't get anywhere with God is because they simply stop seeking God. They simply stop going for God, and they stop seeking the gifts of God. Because why? Why do we do that? It's because we have to crucify the flesh. And when we start to crucify the flesh don't like that. The flesh will say, oh, just sit on the couch and watch another episode of The Last Man Standing. Anybody seen that show? I love that show. I got to stop watching it and read more Bible. I'm just going to... I love it, Brother Billy. If you ever watched it, you need to... It's good. Anyway, I need to read the Bible more. And that's how we get into a stagnated relationship with God, is because we put other things before God. The other day, my phone notified me and said, we've been tallying up your Facebook and you've been on an average of 3 hours a day or something like that. It was an outrageous amount on Facebook. And there was a time I wouldn't even spend 2 minutes on it a day. And I made up my mind right there. I said, this is it, Jack. No more of this. It sent me a notification the other day. Your average time is 24 minutes a day. I said, that's getting better. That's how we get away from God, is we disconnect ourselves from God. And when we disconnect ourselves from God, our relationship begins to get laxed. And when our relationship begins to get laxed, then we get into a place where we're not moving in the Spirit and the power of God, and our anointing loses its fervency, and we don't get done what we need to get done in our life. And when we're not living right and we're not doing what we should be doing, then we're not reaching for the lost. Now, I said a while ago that lady minister in Canada, and the church allowed her to preach the gospel in her own way as an atheist. Now, how can you preach the gospel as an atheist? I'll never know. Because she was reaching out to where the church is reaching out to that to the diverse people. That's not how we reach out to diverse people. One, they was doing it without Jesus. And let me say this. We've got two different types of church people. We got church people who are so holy that they can't go out and reach any of the diverse people. And then we got people that aren't living right at all, that we just accept anything that goes on and everything is good and whatever goes, goes. And we got two different sides. It's like two different political parties. One believes this way and one believes this way. And we've got two different ways of nothing getting done. We got a holier-than-thou generation that everything and everybody is going to hell except them. And then we got this generation, everybody's going to heaven and everything's all good to go. There's no bad or nothing. Do you see where I'm talking about? And we have this big split. But God's calling a people that's real. And I like this. In verse 18, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel." To who? To the poor. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty to them that are bruised." Let me tell you something. Jesus is all about going after the diverse people. Jesus is all about going after people that don't know Jesus from a load of coal. Jesus is all about going out and getting the sinner people that's the worst of the worst. I like what Brother Jim Angle said Sunday morning when he was preaching. Said probably one of the most prominent statements that we could possibly ever hear. You cannot serve God without serving people. And this is where I want to get down to preach tonight. Because that echoed in my spirit Sunday morning more than anything else. If you don't love people, if you don't love the lost, then you're not serving God. Now, Brother Paul, that's a very harsh statement. That's hard to swallow. If we're not serving God, it's because we're not loving people. The Bible teaches us that God is love. And I've always told people, you can't love your spouse, you can't love anybody unless you have God. If you don't have God, then you don't have love. God's love is so deep and it's so real. He loves the worst of the worst. He loves the person that smells the worst. He loves the person that's wrapped up in homosexuality. He loves the person that's wrapped up in drugs and alcohol. He loves the people that's so far gone. But we've got a generation that accepts them for who they are, and not only accepts them, but then they make the problem and the mistake of saying, it's okay to live like you are. We've got the church over here that says, well, you can't come into our church unless you clean up a little bit. You can't come into our church smelling like that. Or the first words that come out of their mouth when they walk upon somebody, you're going to hell. Well, guess what? They did know that, I'm pretty sure. But God's looking for a people that's moving in the spirit and the power and the anointing of God that will walk up to them and say, look, I know your life's in a mess. I know you're dealing with this and you're dealing with that. But there's a God that loves you just right where you're at. And if you'll give me a minute, I'll pray for you. I'll love you. And I know our God can set you free. Church, there's a people that's dying and going to hell that need to be loved, that not only need to be loved, but they need to be taught the right way in love. Now, we've all been guilty of being a little harsh. I have. I know I have. Let me tell you something. I've learned a lot in my lifetime, and in ministry. I went to a church one time, and you had to dress up nice, and I thought that was church. I'm just going to be honest with you. I thought that you couldn't go preach without a suit and tie on. I'm telling y'all, just a few years ago, I'd have been in here tonight with a suit and tie on. Thank God I got delivered of that devil. Now, I don't mind dressing up. There ain't no problem with that. But that's not church. And I've traveled all over the land preaching and going to different churches over the years, and I've seen just about everything that you could see in churches. I've seen churches that if you wore a suit, they'd probably hang you up. And I've seen churches if you didn't have a suit on, they'd probably hang you up. I've seen all kinds of different things and all kinds of different ways of doing things. And more than none, there's too many churches that would not accept people walking into the church that was lost and undone and without God. If they walked into the church, they would be discredited and hurt and probably would never come back to a church again. But I like the churches and I like the people that goes after the lost in the power and the spirit and the anointing of God and will tell them, you know what, you can be set free from this. You can be set free from this. You don't have to live this way anymore. You don't have to live like this. God allowed me just this year to be able to minister and be a part of the state trooper in our county. He probably cusses more than a sailor could ever cuss. I mean rough and gruff. And in all the stuff that I've been through this past year, opened up an avenue to where I could talk to this man, and we was able to lead him to the Lord and was able to baptize him. And he was so mean that when we got to baptize him, and you've heard me tell this story, that the guy mentioned on the bank, they said, "Preacher, if you put him in the water, all the fish is going to die." I mean, that's just the reputation this man had. And I even heard somebody say the other day, they said, "He got saved?" I said, "Yeah, he got gloriously saved." I said, "God saved his soul, and we was able to baptize him." Because why? God loved him just the way he was and set him free. And God had to send somebody that was moving in the power and the Spirit of God to touch that man's life. I want to ask you a question tonight. If you look at your life and you was to analyze your life, are you moving in the Spirit and the power of God? You might say, being here this tonight, and you say, "Yes, I am moving in the power of God. Brother Paul, I'm doing my best to move in the power of God." Or you might be saying, "I have no idea what you're talking about. I come to church." You might be in here and say, "I don't want to have anything to do with that. That's for somebody else. That's for you. That's for the pastor. That's for some. That's the preacher's job." Honey, that's not the preacher's job. God is calling you to do something about it. God's calling you to go out and win the lost. God's calling you to go out and set the captive free. This world is dying and going to hell, and we should be ashamed of ourselves for sitting on the church pew and not doing anything about it. We should be ashamed of ourselves for not reaching for the lost and saying, "You've got a better life ahead of you if you'll accept Jesus." That's why when I walk into Floyd County High School, I can't stand myself, because I look at those kids and I look at them wrapped up. And I'm telling you, church, homosexuality is running rampant through the teenagers nowadays. You don't know, just come to schools and look. We got boys trying to be girls and girls trying to be boys. They don't even know who they are. And God loves them just the way they are. And when I walk into the school, I can't help it. I get beside myself because I look at them and there's a love that comes over me, and God just deals with me and he says, "Go tell them about who I am." Oh, because 9 times out of 10, the reason people get in drugs and they get in all the situations that they get in is because somebody didn't love them along the way. Oh, and they had to resort to that, and they just need somebody to tell them about Jesus. Oh, my goodness. It gets a hold of me when I see people dying and going to hell, and somebody needs to tell them about God. We need Jesus to start operating in the churches. If you look at your life, do you see God moving through you? Are you, wherever you work at, do they know that you serve God? I've often said before in times past, if I was to go and ask your coworkers, what would they say about you? Are you living a life? If you really want to know how you're living, just ask the people around you. You know what I mean? Because there's some people that you could point at and you say, I know that person. They serve God with all their heart. I'll tell you one of them, I'll talk about her right now, is Gail Custer. You can't get around Gail Custer and not know that she's not serving God. Y'all know it just as well as I do. I can guarantee you I can go to that woman's work and I'll say, tell me about Gail Custer. There's one or two things that's going to come out of their mouth. She's the sweetest lady I've ever met. Oh, that's a good Christian lady. You know what? People around that woman start getting sick and things start happening. They're going to call her up and say, Gail, would you come and pray for me? If we was to ask your coworkers about what they thought about you, what would they say? What would my coworkers say about me if we were to ask them, am I moving in the power and the Spirit of God? Am I living a life that's reflecting the life of Jesus? If we need a program to get people into church, here it is. Walking in the Spirit and the power of God and reflecting a ministry that reflects something what Jesus did. And if you follow Jesus, he was walking around with the poor. He was walking around with the lost. He was walking around with the heathens. He was going not being like the heathens. Now, don't get that mixed up, honey. Let me draw a fine line right there. Stop and wait a minute now. You going into the world acting like the world, you just the world. But you going into the world being Christ-like, then you're changing people's lives. Now, I didn't say going into the world acting religious. Anybody can throw the word at somebody and knock them upside the head, and I've been guilty of that myself. We can go and beat people over the head with the Bibles, but that doesn't get anywhere. But if we go in the love and the power of God, the Bible teaches us to go into all the world and to preach and to compel them to come in. Tell them that Jesus loves them. I put a post up on Facebook the other day. One of my favorite artists, Lauren Daigle. Anybody seen my post that I put up? The church, she's a Christian artist, and the church is crucifying her. This is where this message come about, by the way. The church is crucifying her because she went on the Ellen DeGeneres show and sung a song. Now, if you don't know who Ellen DeGeneres is, she's a talk show host who proclaims to be a lesbian. And she allowed Lauren Daigle to come on her show and sing a song. Now, they told her, from what I understand, that she can't talk about God and she can't talk about Jesus, but she can come and sing a song. Now, listen, I love this. Before I made a judgment, my first thought was, I want to go see what she did. I want to see, hear the song. I don't got a problem with going into the world. I'll be the first one to go with you. Now, I'm not going to act like the world when I go, but I'm going to go into the world. She got to singing. Probably not a song that I'd want to hear on a daily basis, but hey, whatever. But it was talking about how he set me free and how he brought me out from a darkness and different things. And they give a copy of her CD to everybody in the audience. And if you listen to her songs, they're powerful. And she had an opportunity to go into that place and minister to multi-millions of people. Can you imagine just the people that will Google her name after that show just to see what she's about and the songs that they're going to hear? And to set, I mean, can you imagine the people that will be set free that's probably never heard Jesus before because God gave her an opportunity to go on that show? Church, we have got to get to the place to where we're willing to go out into the world. And I like what Lauren Daigle said. She said, all you all that's coming against me, you're missing the very heart of God. And church, as I start circling the airport tonight to land this plane, I want you to understand, the very heart of God is the lost. It's the poor, it's the brokenhearted, it's the people that don't have nothing. God loves people that are dying and going to hell. God loves people that don't have nothing. God loves people that are confused about who they are. God loves those people. God loves the people who look rough. God loves the people who don't fit in. God loves the people who are all messed up in alcoholism. God loves those people. The Bible says this, how are these people going to hear if there's not a preacher to tell them? Now listen to me, that doesn't mean a literal preacher like me. That means you and you and you and you and you and you and you. God needs somebody that's going to go out and tell them about Jesus. That got me fired up when the church was crucifying that girl for singing a Christian song on a worldly TV station. I commented on there. I said, you give me a call, I'll come and play the organ with you. I'll be the first one on the bus. Now is the time to preach the gospel. How are people going to know if we don't go tell them? How are they going to know? I want you to search yourself tonight. Look at your life. What has God called you to do? What is the purpose that you have for your life? What irritates you the most? I can be in a service. I can be on stage playing with somebody. And I can hear if somebody's off a note, a chord. I can tell somebody's off rhythm. I can be in a service and I can listen to a choir sing, and I can tell if the altos are off or the tenors aren't just right. I know, because God's called me to play music. I can tell when somebody, you might not even notice it, but I can tell. Why? Because God's called me to do that. And there'll be people that so many times, and listen to me, church, so many times get irritated about something in church, and we say, I wish somebody would fix that problem. I wish somebody would get that drummer straight. Where's Storm at? Is he in here tonight? Y'all thank Storm, because Dean couldn't come to play tonight, and I got Storm to come out of his way to play tonight, so y'all give him a big old hug. And he also fixed my car, so y'all give him an extra hug. But I can sit in a service all day long and say, well, the drummer was off. He's not playing right. He could have done this or she could have done that more. I wish somebody would fix that problem. Well, no, God's called me to fix that problem. He called me to be a worship leader. You might be sitting in the church pew tonight and you say, well, I wish that preacher would get it together. He's not moving in the anointing. He should have done this or he should have done that. No, God might be calling you to do that. God might be calling you to preach. I've often heard whatever irritates you the most is what God's called you to fix. You could be sitting there and I wish somebody would get that organized. God might give you the gift of administration. What has God called you to do? What is the thing that God is a pet peeve of yours more than anything? God might be calling you to operate in that field. One of mine is soul winning. I tell you what, I've been in a many church services. Going out somewhere and they not give an altar call. Not even you want to send me into orbit, you have a church service. You go evangelize somewhere and not give the people any chance to get it right with God, I'll go into orbit. Why are we here is what I'm thinking. Why are we even here? Why are we just here to look at each other? I didn't drive all this way to look at y'all. We need to give these people an opportunity to get it right. One of the most detrimental things that we can do as a church is say it's for somebody else. We can say God's called somebody else to do that. I know Brother Lee's been talking about getting people going out and doing mission and bringing people in. And I want to tie into that as I end this service. One, I want to ask you a question. Have you been doing that? Have you reached out to one person, two person, three? Sometimes soul winning takes, it's a progress, it takes time. Because usually the lost soul will have to trust you before. And a lot of times, I'll just give you a secret, they're just trying your spirit out. They want to see if you're real or not. Why? Because there's too many people that's not been real. They've been hurt. Something's happened in their life. Let me tell you something. When you go deal with the lost, they've probably been hurt. And the people that Jesus loves the most, they've probably had people do them wrong. They've probably come from horrible environments. And you might be just somebody else that's coming along to hurt them. So be patient. Rule number one, be patient with the lost. Wait on the Lord and be patient with them. Are you going out and doing that? Are you trying to win the lost? I want you to analyze your life tonight and to think about your relationship with God and is it being reflected to others? I'm going to say something that's going to be kind of deep and harsh, and I don't mean it to be that way. I do mean it to be that way. But if you're not reaching to the lost, then what are you doing? I'm going to let that sink in a minute. If you're not reaching for the lost, then what are you doing? Well, I come to church. Good job. And I'm proud of you for doing it. But why are you here? So many times, people come to church, and I've heard them say this, and I'm going to tell you a statement that a church told me one time. We have people coming to church because I want to be blessed, I want more money, I want to prosper, and that's the only reason they're coming. We'll come, we'll get our Bibles, and we'll sit down and say, how's God going to bless me? I want a new Cadillac. I want $1 million. I'm going to give $100 so God will bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. I want to pray for a new car. I want to pray for a new house. I want to pray for a new job. And that's good, and that comes with the walking with God. There's nothing, listen to me, there's nothing wrong with being blessed. But if you want to get to the very heart of God, you start winning souls. You want to be blessed and you want to see God moving in your life, you start going after the lost. It tires the devil up. Beth, a church told me one time, we were trying to start a youth group and we were trying to grow. And this is what they said, well, we don't want to grow too big. And I said, come again. They said, we don't want to grow too big because we want to keep it like a family. And if you get too big, then you lose that family element. It's truth before God. That's a church that's lost the vision. That's a church that's not going to get anywhere with God. That's a church that's walking away from Jesus and losing the power. One of the things that attracted me to this church is its outreach for the lost. Probably more than any church I've ever seen before in my life that I've been a part of over the years, is the reaching out for the lost. My goal tonight is not to be mean to you or to upset you or to point out your faults. That's not what I'm doing, because if you look at my life, you'll find more faults than probably you've got. But we have got to start going out to the sick and the lost and the people that's dying and going to hell. That little girl told me, and I'm going to go behind the piano so y'all feel better. That little girl told me Monday night, she said, "You're the only one that's taken the time to come by." I said, "What?" She said, "You're the only one." I was shocked. God loves that little girl. Church, there's people that's dying and going to hell every day, and they need Jesus. And you sitting in here tonight are the conduits that God wants to flow through to touch these people. Are we doing it?